Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Demetra Gray Show. I'm here with my husband. What?
Jordan Gray.
This is our second intro attempt. What?
I wonder if they know before you introduce me, just by the amount that you're laughing in the first few words, that I'm sitting next to you. You don't start most episodes laughing.
Correct. There would definitely have to be a reason that I'm laughing. We've had a bit of little just technical setup happening, but we're here together.
We are.
And we have a topic to talk about together.
We do.
What?
And that topic.
So we're going to talk about engagement anxiety and everything that might come up around getting engaged. Jordan has kind of gotten a couple questions recently, right, about engagement anxiety, and he wrote a whole article on it. So we'll link that in the show notes in case that's where you're finding this from. And yeah.
It's a thing.
Well, so we've been married for just about 2 years. Oh my gosh. Our 2-year wedding anniversary is coming up
next week.
Yeah. What are we going to do?
Have a little party back home.
Are we
going
to celebrate?
Yeah, of course.
What are we going to do?
Something.
Did we do something last year?
I believe so.
Didn't we go to dinner and we asked each other those deep questions?
Yes.
And that was where we got the idea for the last episodes. You didn't get the idea from there, but it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, we went to dinner for our anniversary and Jordan, maybe I asked Jordan some sort of question and then Jordan answered with this like profoundly deep and beautiful answer that made me cry.
Yeah.
We like reflected on our relationship and I think I asked him like what were the most maybe like impactful parts of our whole relationship or I don't know, like ways that you changed or something. But we like reflected on the first year of our marriage and then like the whatever it was 4 years prior of our relationship. And so now we're about almost 5 years into our relationship and just about 2 years into us being married. And we got engaged about a year before we got married?
Just under a year, yeah.
Yeah, just under a year. Jordan proposed to me on the summer solstice.
In a rose garden.
Aw, and you sound it, say it that way, it sounds so cute. It was cute.
It was but a rose garden.
Yeah, and it was on the solstice. And I feel like I should let you start, because we had very different, engagement experiences and stuff coming up around getting engaged. And so I think we can both just share different aspects of what came up for us and how we worked through it. And then hopefully that will be helpful to anyone that's like getting closer to that or is engaged or has that coming in their future. Or maybe even people who are recently married and didn't really deal with any emotions that came up before the marriage happened. Because I think we have to deal with them at some point. So let's get into it. I feel like you should start because I feel like you had just bigger things come up.
Yes. Yeah. A few things. First thing I want to start off with is if you are currently in the, planning to buy a ring or recently engaged or just in that process, just knowing that like it's very normal and very not talked about. Like it's, yeah, I think there's a big contrast in like the societal expectation or the societal narrative of what being engaged is like. And then the emotions that I felt during it that I was like, oh, what a stark contrast this is that I've heard no one talk about. But then when I talked to close friends and started doing any research, I was like, okay, other people have felt this. And so it is a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not just uniquely messed up.
Well, you Googled a lot.
I Googled a lot. As I do and have always done with relationship stuff, maybe you do more with health stuff. I can speak to the lead up because, I had a bit more, and we both knew that we were going to get engaged, get married. Like, that was...
We talked about it a lot.
Yeah, that wasn't a new thing to either one of us. And even having been together for, you know, 3 years-ish at that point, for me, the emotional process of leading up to buying, like, actually buying the ring and being like, okay, I know we've talked about it and talked about it for years. Yeah, there was definitely a, okay, I'm actually intending to commit to this person for all of the minutes that I'm alive. How about that? What a decision that I'm in the process of making.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew what kind of ring, you know, generally we talked about certain aspects of that, but
we
yeah.
went ring shopping.
We went ring shopping. That was
later.
A bit later. Okay. Yeah. 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 So for me, the first, you know, round of emotional wave was, okay, I'm actually going to buy a ring, and then I'll have a proposal plan, even if it's a very simple one that, you know, fit us as a couple. Yeah, I was really surprised seeing the rounds of stuff my mind threw at me leading up to going to the ring store, buying a ring.
What were some of the things?
I feel like it went from, you know, again, we were years in at that point, but any layers of rose-colored glasses were very swapped out for, like...
The opposite.
yeah, like a telescope or, like, magnifying glass. Just, you know, every little thing that my mind could fixate on. Like, oh, like, is that trait going to be okay forever? Oh, you just had a really silly argument over nothing. Is it only going to get worse? Like, this is just dating behavior. What if it gets even worse when you're married and... You know, she just gets mean and is a totally different person. And this whole thing has been a facade. Just, yeah, like anything that my mind could possibly latch onto. Yeah, everything was just being, you know, really microanalyzed through the filter of, can I be with and tolerate, you know, fill in the blank, this trait, this thing, this characteristic for the rest of my life, if it's the same or worse, was really the... You know, the kind of core neurotic ramblings of what my mind was doing. It was just, yeah, seeing everything through the, you know, realer filter of forever.
Mm.
And, you know, fixating on, or in most cases, drastically exaggerating the things that I was, you know, quote unquote, perceiving in you or in our dynamic. yeah, just the magnifying glass came out and was like, everything is so important and a threat and watch out. What if mm-hmm. that's bad?
Which is good.
Totally. Yeah. I see, to me, there's really like, there's a lot of wisdom in that, that there should be at least, you know, and ideally before you actually get married, because I know many people don't do this work proactively. It's not leading up to engagement or during engagement, but yeah, as you alluded to, a lot of couples just suppress their emotions and feel none of this. And then in their first year of marriage, all the, you know, ego flare-ups kind of bubble up and, you know, they fight way more than they ever had because they didn't go through this stuff.
Which is very opposite for us, actually, now that I think our first year of marriage was so smooth.
Totally.
And pleasant and easy.
Yeah.
But I think probably because we really did process all this stuff yeah. earlier.
Yeah, I think, you know, likely just our individual... you know, levels of sensitivity of just like, you know, whatever was bubbling up, we had to
yeah.
be with it, talk about it, feel our way through it, hold it up into the light of reality. But yeah, I totally, there is a lot of wisdom to the process of, okay, this is a rite of passage. This is a gauntlet that I have to, you know, that get to go through and really audit every single piece and go, do I want this forever?
Because it's like one of the most significant, they say even for your health too, like yep. who you marry is just has like the biggest impact on your life almost more than anything else.
Your health, your finances, your social life, your, yeah, just like every pillar of your life is heavily impacted by your significant other that yeah, you select.
It's a big deal. It's like, do I want to forever intertwine my life with this person's?
Yeah. And that's, yeah, like it would be very strange if this kind of process didn't bubble up for, you know, for someone at all.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, that's almost its own red flag. Like, you're not like looking at anything, you know, going through it with this fine tooth comb and going, okay, how about this part? How about this? You know, is our vision really aligned with what we're looking to build in our lives?
I would have guessed that people who get divorced, if you talk to them, probably did not thoroughly like audit in this way, would you say?
Yeah, or at least,
or maybe they change or whatever, but
yeah, or the, yeah, a lot of people that I talked to, they knew, like, yeah, they knew that it wasn't,
yeah,
like, I, you know, when I said yes to his proposal, or, you know, even when we started dating, like, I knew that it was off and I ignored that.
Yeah.
I suppressed it because I was this age, all my friends were getting married, whatever the, you know, story or social pressure, you know, my parents liked them. So I just went along with it and, you know, woke up 2 years into the marriage and was like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like this thing, this other thing, I know that these things are off. So yeah, I think that, you know, different percentage of different pockets would have different reasons. But yeah, I think some people are just like, I knew I didn't want to, but I went along with it because I thought I should.
Yeah. So what else came up for you?
I think that's, as an overarching theme, that's the biggest one, was just I audited everything behaviorally, physically, emotionally, sexually, just, you know, every possible pillar I went through and just deeply audited it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, there's even like a, yeah, there's a secondary layer of, you know, it's one of the most important people that you decide to like tether yourself to for life. And I also at that point had, you know, a decade plus, you know, a decade-ish established business of being a relationship coach. And so publicly being like, okay, we're married. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's
almost. You were so nervous to like tell people. It took you a long time to tell people we were even dating, I think.
Did it? What do you mean?
Well, it took like, I don't know, not that long, but like months.
After we'd met in person?
Mm-hmm.
I think I refrained from...
Like business, like branding. Like you...
put you in articles and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Like you were... I don't know how long it took exactly, but I remember that being a thing. Like it just like took a bit of time because you wanted to be sure that we were going to last before you like plastered me in your business. Like...
I think it was like 3 months.
Yeah,
like,
I just, mean, yeah, it there wasn't was that some time, long, but it was, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started posting about you right away, so it was just, I guess, just compared to me.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So marriage is even bigger. Jordan also had a pretty deep, like, you were certain that if you got married, you wanted to get married and never get divorced.
Correct. Yeah, some people have a more laissez-faire relationship to that, to marriage and to divorce of like, yeah, and I had, when I was talking to, you know, acquaintances or one therapist that I was talking to around the engagement time, yeah, several, two specifically, said exactly that. They're like, you know, the anxiety is normal, it's fine, it bubbles up, and, you know, if you're married and it's not working out, there is always divorce, and I was just like, no. There isn't for me. Like, that's not, if I'm marrying someone, I'm very in. That's it. So yeah, there was definitely an aspect of it.
You were super adamant. I did not have that as much until we got married. Like, when we actually got married, I was like, more like you. Like, I never want to get divorced. I'm like very certain. But back when we got engaged, even a little before that, like, I was like, I didn't care. I was like, I could be divorced 4 times. It doesn't matter to me, was how I felt at that time. Because I had even gone into our relationship being like, I don't know if I need to get married. So it was never, it wasn't this big thing necessarily to me yet in the way it was for you.
Totally. Yeah. So it was a thing for me and I took it really seriously and still do. But yeah, that was just like the first gauntlet of, okay, every possible thing that I could worry about, be concerned about, you know, really look at with a magnifying glass. I just, yeah, I deeply audited all of it. And that continued really through the entire engagement. It came in waves. There were, you know, weeks with more relative internal peace, and weeks, or at least days, interspersed with more neuroticism and worry. But yeah, I mean, I remember it leading up probably right until, until we were actually married. Like on our wedding day, there was still like, okay. And, you know, something that people who've been following me very closely for many years might remember. I've barely talked about this at all, but one of my first jobs was, or like self-employed jobs, was I was a wedding photographer. And so I saw dozens of couples on their wedding days. And I remember, and I started that job when I was 17, like that was like 17 to 21 kind of ages. And I remember seeing the the percentage of grooms, especially, that pre-drank a lot to like before their wedding ceremony. And just being like, in what world, like it made no sense to me. Even though I did drink alcohol, you know, during those years, like back then. Yeah, I was like, why would you want to be less, you know, less present for like one of the most important moments of your entire life? And, you know, knowing which couples kind of did, or, you know, the grooms especially, engage in that behavior, I was like, ah, this is someone crossing the threshold who has not done that, you know, internal preparatory work. And so, well, oh, I'm feeling like a weird something in my body. So I'll just like literally do 8 shots with my groomsmen. And then as long as I can stand up, I'll go and repeat the words and get married. Oh. And I remember thinking it was so sad, even as a 20-year-old. Yeah. So, yeah, I felt any of those, you know, overlapping feelings leading up to the actual ceremony and probably during it. And then, yeah, I feel like once the threshold was actually crossed, we were like, or, yeah, internally I was just like, okay. And then, yeah, those early months of being married were incredibly peaceful. And I felt like, just like I didn't know the difference between how my nervous system, how my body would feel when I was a renter versus a homeowner. And, oh, I can like really land here. And no landlord can kick me out. This is just my place to root down. Dating versus married felt like that plus more.
Yeah. Jordan, you got a lot of help too. Like, you got support during that time. Like, you would reach out to close friends, or you got hired a therapist. Like, you you really sought out support and just others' experiences.
Totally. Yeah, and people that had gone through identical or, you know, highly similar things. Yeah, one of my closest friends, she had her own process, and yeah, I texted with her and talked to her a bunch through the, you know, through that year of being in that, yeah, in that transition. And it was super helpful to be like, okay, this is normal, and like, you actually went through it, and you're not just, you know, playing along and pretending like you did. And she's like, no, it was hell. It was really hard on me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember that because she also reached out to me when she was in that, you know, when she was in that same process years prior. So I knew that she wasn't lying, because I was like, yeah, I remember talking you off the ledge multiple times and being like, he's a really solid guy and your life has only improved since you started dating. And yeah, so she got to return the favor. And yeah, I also saw a therapist online, probably talked to her once or twice a month. Not through the entire process, but for a good chunk of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just hearing from other happily married, you know, multi-year, multi-decade adults who are like, yeah, this is a thing. It's not just you. This is normal. Mm-hmm. Not everyone experiences it, but basically everyone experiences it at some point in the process.
Did you feel like the things you had coming up were more marriage-related or me-related or both, or...
Good question. I imagine a combination, depending on which stage. yeah, high level, it's easier for me to assume that they were mainly you related. It wasn't just like the concept of marriage and, oh, one sexual partner forever and I'm like, you know, locked in, ball and chain. Like, that wasn't as much my thing. Yeah, because I knew that, yeah, like some of my high school friends compared me to Ross on Friends. Like, I was always very, you know, long-term monogamy oriented. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, marriage didn't scare me as much as, am I marrying the right person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember some of your big fears were like I was going to leave you or I was going to like divorce you and take all your money or something.
Yeah.
So that kind of feels more marriage related than specifically me, because those things feel like they would have probably come up with any person.
True. But I feel like those were shorter lived.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was any like one theme that I really chewed on for months. Like it was more.
It was everything.
Yeah, it was more popcorn style. Like a thing would come up and I'd worry about it for 2 or 3 days, you know, part time. And then I'd talk to my friend about it and it would kind of dissipate and I'd go, okay. And then on to the next one.
Like
it
was. He really went through a lot. I remember because I just sort of had to leave you alone in a sense, just like let you kind of go through your stuff and try to not like overly talk about it with you or get in the way or.
Which is not a small thing because inherent in you saying that you weren't taking it personally. Like right. I wasn't bringing, you know, the fears and projections and whatever to you. Cause I kind of knew all the way through, like, this is just silly mind content burning off in me.
But he would go through periods. Yeah, I guess I feel like it is important to name that because I feel like that could be really activating for someone. It wasn't that, I don't know why it wasn't that bothersome to me. I guess it was because, like, I knew that it was stuff that would burn off. Like, I know you so well and I just knew that, like, you know, I knew your childhood. I know, like, your fears and I was like, this makes sense. Like, he's just having a lot come up and... Man, it seems really intense for him, but like, I'm just gonna kind of let him, just not bug him too much about it and like ask him a ton because it really doesn't have a lot to do with me in some sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoken like a securely attached person.
Which I'm sure I wasn't always perfect at, but for the most part, yeah, I have leaned more secure.
Mm. Definitely. Yeah. And so that feels like a transition point. I'm curious what your process felt like.
I feel like I had some waves, but they were more short lived and just not really, actually, like it feels kind of similar to, like when Jordan and I first started dating, I moved. If you don't really know the whole story, like I moved countries quite quickly. Like we met in person and then like a month later I went back to where I was living and I sold all my things and I just like moved my whole life to Canada. And I was at that time, it didn't even seem like a that big of a deal. It was just kind of exciting. I was like, here I go. I love this man and I'm just going to move to a new country. And, I think it's important to just realize where I was at that time, was pretty unattached to, like, I didn't need things to work out. I didn't need them to go a certain way. And I was, as I said earlier, like, I could have never gotten married, never had kids. Like, where I was mentally at that age, I was 26 when we first met. I didn't take anything that seriously, really. And then, so I had a similar wave, like right after I moved to Canada, like a week later, I just had this huge wave of like pushing Jordan away and just being like, what have I done?
This is like 2 months into our dating. Like
yeah. This days. Is early on. So you might have like, I've talked about this at other times, but I had this big wave and I went and got my own apartment in Vancouver for, it was like an Airbnb. It was just a short term and I barely stayed there really without him, but I just needed to have some space. And that's how I tend to be more. I think like I'll have like a big thing and just need a bit to process. But, yeah, I just, So when we, leading up to us getting engaged, at some point, I don't remember when I shifted into like, okay, I want to get married. I actually don't really remember, like, I feel like from what I remember, it just started to feel more like our relationship just deepened and it was like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, we're going to do this next. Mm-hmm. And it was still just kind of fun for me. Like, I wasn't taking it that seriously. I was feeling more, I was feeling committed. But I feel like at the time of engagement, I still wasn't that. Like, in my mind, I was still kind of like, I could get divorced. Like, it's not like the end of the world. And we went ring shopping. That was kind of fun. I surprised myself. But when I was younger, I was like, I don't even want, like, I'm never going to want a ring. And then when we went ring shopping, I was like, I want a really nice ring. So that was a thing for you, too. Jordan, just like spending a lot of money on a ring that brought stuff up for you. And I, after, right after we got engaged, I remember, I feel like my biggest wave the whole time was like the day we got engaged. And I don't know if you remember, but like, I guess up until that day for me, even like knowing you had purchased the ring and going ring shopping, it was still all like fun. Like, I think of it as just more of this, like, pure maiden energy of just, like, oh, he's going to buy me a ring. And, like, oh, this is fun. Oh, we're going to get married. Oh, we're going to get engaged. Like, then on the day when he actually proposed, I mean, the proposal itself was beautiful. Like, I feel like I, like, blacked out and he asked the question. I just, like, couldn't even.
Started crying.
I couldn't even remember what he had said. I cried and I just cried for like an hour. And then when we got home, I suddenly was like, I just like didn't even want to be near you. And then I felt conflicted because I was like, we should be feeling like we just got engaged. We should feel the most loving and magical and all this stuff. But in actuality, right after you had proposed and I said yes, and then we got home, I was like it became a lot more serious. And it was just like, and then I think I asked you, I wanted space. I like went to the bedroom by myself. I just like needed some time alone. And then I remember we had a little bit of a fight. It wasn't really a fight, but it was just like tension because I wanted to post about it. I wanted to like post the photo of us getting engaged. And for me, I really felt like I needed that to like make it more real and get everyone's. Like, I wanted to post it and, like, tell my family and tell everyone to have everyone be, like, excited and be like, yes, this is happening. Like, I felt like for me, I needed that, but Jordan was a lot more.
I was like, can we just have this be ours for, like, even a, like, couple hours? Like, just, yeah. Because you wanted to do it, like, right away.
Yeah.
You know, not minutes. Like, you had your hour of crying. We had to get home from the flower garden. Yeah, I remember that. And just been like. Yeah, to me it was like this like beautiful, tender, just ours, and it'll never be just ours again. Can we just like simmer in it a tiny bit? You're like, no, like I like need to post about it on Instagram and like tell my, you know, everyone immediately, yeah, to like digest it. And I was like, this is, I want to digest it differently. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely had different ways. Jordan, I feel like you could have not told anyone for days.
Totally.
Like you would have been so happy to just sit and just be us. And I was like, I was having just so much come up and it was like so scary that I just felt a lot more external. Like I wanted to talk to other people and hear them say like, woohoo, we're excited for you. And like, we support your relationship and like be able to talk to friends and be like, ah, this is scary. And like, oh my God. And I really wanted to go through it that way. And so it was like immediately it was like this kind of tension of like, you want to have it, like, do it that way, and I want to do it this way, and then it's, like, I feel like my mind also had its moments of, like, just, like, latching on to the tiniest, even, like, insignificant little things and just being, like, is this the person you're going to be with forever? Is this... And I'll say that I find it similar as we get closer to having children.
Totally.
Like, I feel like there's another wave of that happening. It's smaller because, like I said, like, by the time we actually got closer to being married, I had really shifted into more of, like, okay, this is, like, for life. Like, I don't want to, I became a lot more serious. And so there's that security in our marriage now of, like, I've committed to you. I feel married. Like, I love our relationship. And as we get closer to, like, being like, okay, are we ready to start a family? I find my mind latching on to, like, the silliest instances where, like, I don't even know an example of one, but, like, it can be just, like, the stupidest thing. And my brain will be like, is this man a good husband, like, a good father for your children? And I wish I could give an example because it's just, like, you know, like, the smallest tiny thing that doesn't mean anything at all. Like, I don't know, say you just, like, we're going to go to the grocery store and then you decided not to. This isn't an actual example, but just something, like, dumb like that. And then I'm like, does he not follow through on anything? And is this man going to be a good father for my children? And maybe I've made all the wrong choices. And it's quick, but it's, I think it's important to name, like, our brains do that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Perhaps, I guess, we could touch on, like, when it might be something to take more seriously. You know, like, if, like, you might be engaged or considering getting engaged to someone who actually isn't right for you, and so then the things your mind is bringing up might have actual consistent patterns and stuff where, like, you have values differences or you have these big things. And so I'm not talking about, like, major pillars where I'm like, oh, Jordan's missing this thing. It's like that. It's just tiny things where it's more like nitpicky and more like blowing things way out of proportion. Just being like, are you really going to be this forever? Like, are you really going to be able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And it passes very quickly, but.
It's an important point to touch on that. Yeah, I think it's easy to assume that commitment is like a singular event and not a series of waves, like,
yeah,
saying, yes, I'll date you. Yes, I'll move in with you. Yes, I'll get engaged to you. Yes, I'll marry you. Yes, we'll have, you know, yes, we'll be parents. Yes, we'll be, you know, we'll make another kid and then another, you know, whatever. Like, there's just, yeah, it's not a one and done, but, you know, at least in terms of the ego mind, the golem, the like, oh, but like, are we safe and is this okay? It's like, yeah, there are waves of recommitting to your partner and to life and to a bunch of, you know, the bigger, more challenging and ultimately more rewarding aspects of life. It's not a one and done thing. It's an ongoing, or at least, you know, multiple plot point process. And yeah, it's normal. It's appropriate. And seeing the mind in that light, I think, really diffuses a lot of the fear, the intensity of like, oh no, the fact that my mind is worrying about anything, doesn't that sign mean something? No, it's just what the mind does.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if there's, you know, massive core value differences or the core vision for your lives are actually too different, then like, yeah, there can be things to look at. But ultimately, is the fact that you have slightly different hobbies or like different music or, you know, like smaller things compared to, do you want kids? Where do you want to live? You know, what's the balance of our work or money generation or, you know, things like that, that are a bit more, you know, central and constant to a life than other smaller things. So yeah, just seeing the wisdom, the correctness in it. Seeing the phase for what it is, welcoming it, going, okay, yes, this thing can like take things a bit far sometimes, and it has my back. It wants me to make a self-honoring decision that will serve me in the long term.
I mean, I think a lot of the difficulty in feeling these things is the sort of societal perception that you're not supposed to be feeling them. right? Because, like, otherwise, it's not really that anxiety-inducing. But if you start feeling afraid or you start worrying about things, and then on top of that, you're like, I shouldn't be feeling this way.
Yeah.
Like, we should be in the happiest time of our lives because we're engaged and we're going to get married, and this should be, like, purely just fun and exciting. We should be, like, having sex all the time and
clinking glasses of champagne and staring into, like, each other's eyes in front of the sunset.
And I feel like for most things in life, there's that, like, when you feel a way and then you're like, well, I shouldn't be feeling that way. It's like
compounds.
Yeah, it just starts, like, yeah, building on itself like that. And I feel like that's why more recently, when I have any waves come up, they're not really that big of a deal. I mean, they're not a big deal at all, because it's just like I have a wave come up and I'm like, yes, brain, that makes sense. Like, you would want to thoroughly audit any possible thing of a man that you're going to have a child with.
Yeah.
And, like, that makes total sense. And so I don't need to dwell on, like, oh no, does this mean a thing? Because it's just like, I can think about it and be like, these are really silly things. And, like, that's funny. My mind is doing that. And of course it's doing that. Just, like, give, like, almost thanking myself for just being like, thanks for protecting me, because, like, this is important. It's important to track. And I think that actually, as I'm saying it, I think, like, if there were bigger things wrong with the relationship, my mind would pick up on those. But I think they're such silly things because there is no, like, deeper underlying dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when we start looking, it's like that. They did some sort of study with, I think, with TSA workers. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, where it's like they had them look for things that were unsafe. Like, they wanted them to, what?
You know better? Yeah.
Okay, you tell it.
It was pictures of faces.
Oh.
And so they had some, you know, say a stack of 100 faces and say, okay, you know, which of these faces look, are making a neutral expression, which of the, like, which are making, like, dangerous or, you know, angry or just, yeah, like, which of these faces in their expressions could be more threatening? And they started with, you know, having 10 out of 100 were actually those faces. And, you know, the TSA agents that were being tested for that, you know, correctly identified those, you know, the 10%. And then they progressively, after, you know, successive rounds of doing this test, they slowly removed the faces more and more to the point where 100% of the faces were neutral. But because it was their job to find threatening, unsafe, you know, faces in this stack, they would still find the same number. They would just project that on certain faces. And so basically the study is saying that, like, as times get better and, you know, society as a whole progresses and, you know, birth rates are higher and death rates are lower and we all live like kings compared to humans of 400 years ago, the mind still needs to find a consistent percentage of things to worry about. And so even if you do have a wildly healthy, you know, very supportive and, you know, mutually, reciprocally nourishing relationship, the mind's still going to go, okay, we're going to go through this threshold of commitment, still find some things to worry about,
because
that's my job. I'm a mind, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah, it'll find even just the smallest, tiny things. And so I feel like just giving yourselves permission, like, to have that come up and to have that, just, like, let yourself have those things, I think that relieves a lot of the pressure. And just makes it more, it takes, like, that kind of intensity out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, I don't really remember, like, feeling that afraid on the day of our wedding. I mean, I was like excited and I was like, oh, so I'm getting married. Oh my God. But I really feel like for us, our first year of marriage was just like, and it's continued that way. Our second year of marriage too. Like, I feel like as soon as we were married, it just sort of soothed all of it.
Yep.
And it was just like, oh, we love being married.
This is the best.
What are we so afraid of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Vipassana meditation, they talk about no craving, no aversion. So I think that there's, you know, a sweet spot between, you know, not like looking for and like drowning yourself in like, oh, here's a worry. I'm going to just, oh, have this worry and then, you know, let it sink its teeth into me and just like roll around in it. You know, that'd be the craving half. And then the aversion half is like, oh no, I can't, I'm not allowed to. Why am I worrying at all? I should stop. It's like, yeah, seeing it, allowing it and just being like, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to have things bubble up. I can look at them. I can, you know, I'll listen. I'll give them any attention in case there's validity. And when I see that it's not that valid, I can let it float on and, you know, not like tuck it in my back pocket. Just be like, okay,
mm-hmm. like,
thank you. This isn't an actual threat. That's okay. I'll let this one go and see what the next thing, you know, might float up to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I think another thing to touch on, if we go back to like the part we talked about of how you had a lot coming up and I could have been like activated by it.
Yep.
I think is just, like I could have become very, like I could have been so insecure about that personally. Like you saying that I didn't take it personally. It's like, I could have turned it into so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could have turned it into like, this means that you aren't sure about me. That you don't love me as much as I love you. Like, I could have, like, really gone down so many different pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would make sense if someone were to get, like, activated into that, especially depending on your history and your childhood. But I think I found it really valuable for myself to just sort of be able to be, like, this would, like, I could see the option to go down any of those pathways if you were feeling more things, and to just be like, and also the temptation to like grill you about it more, like, how are you feel, what is coming up, like, what are the exact things that are coming up about me, tell me all the little details and the things you're, and it's like, actually I don't need to know that, and I can choose to not even need to know it, and I don't, like, this will be so exhausting and I don't even have to go down this at all. I can just like opt out of it entirely.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, that reminds me exactly of, you know, something that we say with clients around arguments. It's like a fight can really only devolve when both parties involved kind of, you know, when no one's representing their inner adult. Like if you both get into your triggered, you know, unloved inner child and go like, oh, like I'm hurt and you're saying this. Well, because you're hurt, now I'm hurt. Oh, well, I'm more hurt. And then like, you're both just digging in your heels and it goes absolutely nowhere. So if one person is holding the pole of, no, I'm the adult, and that doesn't mean that you're like babysitting or, you know, being hand holding them through it. But you even just being like, okay, you have mind stuff coming up, you know, lovingly, respectfully, that's yours to be with, and I'll let you have it.
And I think just not letting yourself, again, go into, like, the shoulds, because I find that can be hard for me when Jordan's going through something. I think in any kind of aspect of life, but it's just, like, not getting too attached to that we should be, because I remember that coming up a couple times. Like, we should be having the best time, and we should be just like so in love, and like he shouldn't be feeling these things. And it's like, if you'd put that on the other person too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, room for a big dose of like, says who?
Mm-hmm.
Says the societal narrative. Okay. Well, you can opt in or opt out of that whenever you want.
I feel like you could touch on a little bit more, like you sort of glossed over getting the ring. Oh. I feel like that was a big deal for you.
Totally.
So you could touch on that maybe a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, because we had bought a car, we hadn't bought the house. So in terms of like single day purchase. I think that was the most expensive thing I'd ever bought in my entire life. Like, it was more than our car. Yeah, going there and just being like, okay, I know generally the ring I'm probably going to get. And I went there by myself. You didn't know that I was going to get it that day because, you know, I had to be in possession of it and then hide it from you for months. But yeah, I definitely remember being there, like being in the ring store. And this isn't the right word. It's a generous or even dramatic word, but like I felt like I was like 20% dissociating to get through the meeting. Like, I was like breathing through the anxiety of like, man, my heart is pounding. I'm actually doing this.
What were you worried about?
I mean, I think it was just, for me, that was, yeah, honestly, in some ways, that was probably more of the threshold than us getting married. Because I was like, I'm dropping this much money on a thing that absolutely sets in motion this path. Like, for me, that was the threshold of, I'm buying this thing. Mm. When I have it, I'm going to propose with it. When I propose, I'm 99%+ sure she's going to say yes. Mm. So this is the purchase of, I'm going to have a married life forever. And yeah, it just, that was the threshold. In no world would I buy it and then go back and say, hey, kind of a refund, I don't want this. Like, it's just, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. So yeah, doing that. It's funny because in the Joseph Campbell hero's journey structure, I'm thinking, you know, in every movie, but I really love the Matrix trilogy. And in every hero's journey, there's a singular threshold that the hero has to cross where they've had the mentor, they've had the training, they've had, you know, the confidant, the people with them all the way up to the finish line. I'm getting goosebumps as I'm about to say this.
He is, I see them.
They, like, the hero has, like, again, in every hero's journey structure, the hero has to cross the threshold by themselves. There's no, you know, Dorothy or Neo or whoever, like, they have to take the actual leap of faith, and it's only them. And it felt like that. I was like, I made this appointment. I'm here. She doesn't know I'm here. I'm buying this ring. This is me committing to this life. And yeah, for me, just that day was the culmination of, okay, I'm absolutely doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, my heart was pounding. And for me, the thing that got me through every wave ultimately was just any time, you know, no matter how big or scary sounding of a thought my mind was trying to chew on and obsess over, I would just always come back to, how does my body feel when I'm around her? And you're the only woman in my entire life who I could just so easily always have, like, it was just such a constant. How safe, how this person feels like home. And I'd never had anything close to that with any previous partner. And, you know, no matter how much my mind wanted to spin its wheels in the mud, I just trusted my body's response to you. And I was like, this is, you know, from day one of meeting you all the way through, yeah, my body just has always felt so safe, so comfortable, so just like correct with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those waves, buying the ring, leading up to the actual wedding ceremony, I just kept coming back to that of like, okay, my mind's doing a bunch of stuff and, you know, spitting noise at me. And how does my body still feel? Fine. Like, I would check my solar plexus, my gut, zero tension.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is my mind trying to mess me up. And it just was, never had any deep validity at all.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I just kept coming back to like, this is what's honest and correct.
I did know when you bought the ring though. Oh. Remember? I think I knew the exact day because I think you came home and I was like, where were you? Because didn't you stay in a hotel maybe the night before and then you came home like a bit later than checkout time? And I was like, where are you? Because he was downtown. We used to do that sometimes. We'd like go away for a night or two in a hotel in the same city just to like have some space. And yeah, he like came home later than checkout time. And I was like, I think I knew it right away. He kept trying to like hide these parts of it from me. But I knew everything, like, when it was coming.
I'm sure I was not sneaky at all.
I knew when he had bought the ring. I knew when you were going to propose. I wasn't 100% positive, but I was pretty sure. I was like, oh, it's going to happen. I was so nervous.
And then we did it, and it was great. And I've only liked it more every year, so
yeah,
for whatever reason, maybe it's just the time of year, we're recording this during spring. I've had more people coming and talking to me about this, asking me questions about it, going through this process, being like, is this okay, is this normal? And yeah, that's really like the biggest and loudest thing I would just want to tell people that might be in this kind of a situation is just, yeah, if you are at all sensitive, self-aware, potentially have any proneness to neuroticism and just, you know, have a busy, creative mind, it's profoundly normal that your mind would want to chew on things and freak out about, you know, am I for sure doing the right thing? Is this okay? Is this thing going to be an issue down the road? Yeah, I see it really as a wise feature in our psyche that just wants to make sure that we're making a great decision for ourselves and let it take time. I don't think there's any one perfect thing you can hear that just nukes all the worries in one moment. Like, no matter how many people I talked to and how qualified they were to, you know, be with me in this exact thing, it just had to burn off over the course of months. And that's fine.
Yeah. There's two quick things that come to mind that I just want to kind of finish out on. One is that I just want to reiterate, like, the importance of not putting too much pressure on how you, like, how something should feel. Like, I'm even thinking about our honeymoon, right? And, like, Jordan loved our honeymoon, but, like, we had to go to a place close by because of COVID. And I just, like, to me, our honeymoon, it was fine and relaxing and cute, but like it wasn't like this epic honeymoon that I had imagined that I would have. And I think just like, I think now when I look back at our engagement and our wedding and our honeymoon, it's like, it doesn't really matter. And we put so much weight on like how it should be and like how that day should be so perfect and it should feel like this and it should. And it's like, we have such a happy, loving marriage, and it just, like, those days and these significant points just, like, don't matter all that much. And it's beautiful when they're, like, beautiful and perfect, and it's just like, wow, that day was so cute and amazing, and that magical moment happened. And we have had some of those. And it's also okay when, like, things go wrong or you feel anxious or you have a big wave come up and you're like, actually, I just want to push them away and whatever. Like, all of that is part of it. And that's okay. And then another quick thing that I just want to say, because this was actually a big thing for me, to anyone who has gotten a ring, like, I was so nervous about having my ring. Don't you remember how I was just so anxious all the time? I was like, am I going to lose it? Like, is it okay to have this nice of a ring? It's scary to have so much money. I think no matter how much your ring is worth, like, it's scary to have that much money on one finger and to just, and I've lost so many pieces of jewelry in my life. It was just like, it was really, really terrifying to be like, is this okay? And like it feeling so foreign and feeling like, I felt so aware of it walking down the street, just like, should I hide it? Should I? Whatever. And now it's funny because, like, you know, I check to make sure it's there. Like, it's just become sort of a part of me. But I never worry. Like, I don't think about it when I'm walking around. I don't, like, I mostly forget it's there a lot. I mean, I admire it often, but, like, I don't think of it so much. And I wish, like, I just remember asking, like, my cousin got engaged around the same time as I did. And I remember saying to her, like, oh my God, are you, like, terrified? How are you feeling? Because I just can't stop feeling like this is just, it's never going to go away. Like, I'm always going to feel so anxious. And so in case anybody is in that spot, I would tell you that, yeah, whatever we are now, 2.5, almost 3 years out from me getting this ring, I, like, it is not a source of, I just don't think about it that much. So.
And it's perfect. It's like a little totem of, you know, whatever, womanhood, adulthood, being a wife, like, it just, it's this thing that it's easier to project these, you know, fears and thoughts on. It's just like, this is me integrating some part of myself. And so, of course, it needs a home to be worried about. And yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. I mean, I love my ring so much. I feel I had to get it resized a few months ago, and I was so sad without it. It felt like a whole part of me was, because I'm like, this is my husband's love for me. I know that it's not, and I know that not everybody needs to, like,
it's a representation.
Feel that, but that's how I feel. Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like, mm-hmm. It's like you on me all the time. I'm like, oh.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. Jordan has his ring.
I do. And I also had to get it resized for, 10 days. And it, did feel like, oh, my finger just feels bare and it's foreign.
Often I say to Jordan when he's being extra cute or something, and I'm just like, who are you? And he'll hold up his hand with his ring and be like, I'm your husband. So that's where you're headed. Any final wrap-up thoughts or notes? I feel like we covered a lot. We shared both our...
I love working stuff with people on this topic. So if you ever want direct support on this, if you're in this process, feel free to reach out.
You can reach out to Jordan, and we'll put the link to his piece that he wrote about this also in the show notes.
Yeah, I have an article about this. But yeah, if you want direct support, I have the circle, the community group. I do one-on-one. You know, maybe not forever, but I do
walk
it now.
You through it.
So yeah, that's also an option. But yeah, it's just normal. You're a human. You're doing great. And yeah, I hope that this helped in any way.
Yeah. Okay. That's all for now. And I'll talk to you soon.